That was beautiful. Thanks, guys. It's good to be back, by the way. It's great to be back. The Holy Gospel is in Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And I'm going to invite the guys up top, two of our kids from mission trip, Matt and Tom. Well, we live in a world that's full of intense conflict, don't we? Like that Star Wars piece, reactivity and conflict. Just in the last few weeks, it seems we've been seeing so many acts of violence and terrorism. Orlando, Dallas, Baton Rouge, St. Paul, Nice, France, Turkey now, and so on, on and on. It seems as if we need to get accustomed to living in a world that's just not safe, where these sort of things just keep happening and keep affecting us. I was hearing that of a study that says that just by watching all these things happening on TV and reading about them, there's a sort of a form of post-traumatic distress disorder that happens to a lot of people. The distress gets into us, and that reactivity that reactivity breeds more reactivity in us. And at times like this, it's even more important for us as Christians to live out our spiritual center as a witness to the world around us, keeping, you've heard this before from Pastor Chuck, the main thing, right? And we're going to talk about that from our faith perspective a bit this morning, and we're going to use Mary and Martha and Jesus to kind of get at that. So how many of you identify more with the Martha in this story? Naturally, all of us have both tendencies, okay? How many Mary types that are more into reflection and, okay, oh, the rest of you are lying, that's all. Well, here we go. You know, I want you to notice the stained glass window. Do you notice who has halos in this picture? Jesus does. Who else? Mary and Martha both have halos around their heads. What does that suggest to you? Pardon? They're all significant. They're all important. They all have value. They're all holy people of God. They're all in, and these models are all valuable for how we live. So, the truth be told, there's some of Mary and Martha in all of us, isn't there? You know, and both of these human ways of dealing with our lives and the time we're living in. Let's just take a look at them. First, let's look at the Martha way a little bit. The Martha way I like to talk about is the way of doing. It's responding to flood victims by getting out there to help, like some of our folks did a few weeks ago, finding out what our neighbors' needs are and helping them by connecting with them, pulling out their drywall and their soggy carpeting, their damaged possessions, and helping them, being available to them and their needs in the aftermath of all this stuff. The Martha way is the way of action, like this. You know, keep going, guys. The next frame is, these are the folks who went over to Midland to pick up this new pipe organ that's laying all over the building now in pieces, and it's very exciting. You know, action, and they did some pretty risky stuff, but they got the job done. The organ transplant team, they call themselves. All right? All right. Well, the Martha way is that. It's action. And the strength of the Martha way, it's the next thing, getting things done, right? Martha's get stuff done. And I like this scene. This is a scene from last week's mission trip. You can see some of our kids out there. We were assigned all week in Eureka Springs to work at the great passion play of the Ozark Mountains in Eureka Springs. It's an incredible place if you've never been there, 600 acres with a Holy Land tour, as well as the Passion Play that some of us got to be part of. It was really awesome. But here are some of our kids, several jobs because the place had fallen apart so much. Scads of volunteers are helping them get it back together so it can function. They're painting the curbs in the whole place. Some were watering plants and weeding all week. Some were pounding away with hammers and repairing damaged property here and there and putting on new roofing and all sorts of things. Incredible to see what all these kids were doing. That's getting things done. That's a good thing, right? So the danger of the Martha way, well, it's this. It's overdoing, you know, getting so involved in stuff that we lose track of ourselves, but actually we are involved in ourselves. And it shows up in our family and in our relationship to the whole world, doesn't it? Overdoing that leads to resentment, like Martha was expressing, leading to burnout. You know? Getting so wrapped up in things, trying to fix the world, that as they say in Al-Anon and AA groups, we can get irritable, unreasonable, and resentful without even knowing it. That's how we get. Because we get so caught, for instance, if you're living with alcoholics or drug addicts, you can get so caught in trying to control the alcoholic or addict's life that, you know, we go, if I just do this, maybe he won't drink. Or if I just do that, maybe she'll stay sober for this family party. Or if I just keep the kids quiet, maybe he'll stay home tonight. Stuff like that. And that's one way. That's called a codependent pattern, right? Living your life trying to manage and control somebody else's life until you realize the truth of the first step of AA and Al-Anon, that you are powerless over somebody else's drinking, but because you've been trying to control somebody else's life, your life has become unmanageable. Kind of riding the roller coaster with somebody else instead of getting off the roller coaster and just being able to observe. The best test of if you've become codependent in your life, by the way, you know what that is? It's if you're in a life-threatening car accident and someone else's life flashes before your eyes. Well, you might notice that we have a lot of AA, Al-Anon, and adult children of alcoholics meetings in our building right now here at Lord of Life. They moved over here from Trinity, our sister church across the pond, because they are undergoing some construction like we're going to do in another year or so. And by the way, you're invited to any of those groups if they fit you for dealing with alcohol or drug abuse in your life or somebody else's. How about on a more global scale? You can see how it's playing out in our nasty political climate right now, can't you? As Pastor John was so ably talking about last week, he's doing just, isn't he great to have around? When we just keep busy all the time trying to fix stuff, it leads to this overdoing. If I work just a little harder, I can solve this thing, right? And then that leads to frustration and resentment. After all I've done for you, anybody hear that ever? Burnout, being so worn out you can't do anything much. And from this kind of reactivity, just reacting, shooting from the hip, how we say it, that we're seeing, unfortunately, quite literally in our world right now. And the divisions that get caused in this danger of the Martha way, self-righteousness, you know, I've got the answer. It's all up to us. We have the answer, and saving the world is all up to us, whatever our cause might be. And we get so absorbed in action in this mode that we lose our spiritual center and our witness as Christians, therefore. And that happens in the church as well as in our families and the world, doesn't it? Well, that's what happened to Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars series when he had to deal with the death of his father, who was just Darth Vader. He was so plain, simple, and simply burned out. Just let's watch this.
Yeah. You're coming with me. I'll not leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have, Luke. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister. You were right.
And if you've watched that whole series, you know how he was so distressed, so burned out, worn out from all the tensions of this battle he was engaged with, that he just pulled away. And in the beginning of the second, the most recent movie, nobody knows where Luke is or if he's even alive. He's gotten so burned out, he's had to just escape to this deserted monastic island and just be gone, withdraw from everything. Well, what about Mary, the Mary way of approaching things? Mary's way is the one of contemplating, reflecting, praying, pulling back some, developing quiet time and space to develop spiritual depth, right? Slowing down just to be present in the moment, to get in touch with God, you know, taking time to understand things from a variety of perspectives, not just my own, not just and observing and learning about patterns in relationships and how things come about in society as a whole. That kind of reflective work. And the strength of the Mary way, it's this wonderful thing about being able to be centered, present, at peace. It's a great thing. But it takes quiet time, study, prayer on our parts, individually and as community. That's why we have stuff like this all over the building. The Word and Season out there in the gathering space, and this one in the back on the back ledge, Taking Faith Home, to help us think and reflect on what it means to live, to listen to Jesus and grow in the Word and understand what that is all about. That's why we have all that stuff. That's a good thing. Now, what's the danger of the Mary way? In the extreme, it's losing connections, it's avoiding things altogether, checking out. Some say it's becoming so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Ever heard that phrase? But that's the way Martha says it, at least, right? But if we're going to be truly healthy and whole, we can't just shut ourselves away from the world, can we? Even if we want to. Even Luke Skywalker couldn't escape forever. Watch this. This is the last scene from that most recent Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. See in 2 years how that turns out, right? For the next movie. Well, there's a third way to deal with all this, the challenges surrounding us and the crises surrounding us with life, the Jesus way. And on our mission trip this past week, the theme was pray as you go. That's what you might call it. The way of Jesus, as we watch him deal with life, is this way of balance. It's action and reflection, action and reflection. And he was so involved in so many ways with people's lives in such intimate ways and with the forces in his society at large in his day, political, religious, economic, that he often goes off to pray, to reflect, to be with God. get re-centered. But he doesn't just hide out for good. He reemerges, engages and reemerges to see and challenge the powers that be. And it's this balance of prayer and action, of letting God's will determine his actions, like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, which you might say was just praying in the midst of action. Right. Remember what he said in that crucial moment in the garden? Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then he goes on and takes this most redeeming action of all of history, going to the cross to begin the restoring and redeeming of a fallen and broken humanity, a fallen and broken world that is now our mission as Christ's body in the world. That's the Jesus way. Praying as you go, not just waiting till you're tired and burned out and feel like you're at the end of your rope, but praying without ceasing, reflecting daily on how things are going in your life and what God wants from you today, just for today, staying as much as possible in the center of God's unconditional love for you and for every last human being, staying in that presence. So that you can experience what Paul talked about in the reading from Colossians, the great mystery of the world. What is it? Christ in you. That's the hope of glory this world needs. Christ in you when you're balanced and centered, the hope for a broken and fallen world. Acting from peace at the center, because action without contemplation, that's uninspired. It's not of God, action without contemplation and prayer. And unless you're aligned with God, your action, really, quite honestly, it's a waste of time. Those of you who know about Saul Alinsky back in the 60s, you know about social activism that went nowhere ultimately because it had no spiritual grounding. And in fact, action without contemplation and prayer can be destructive out there in the world, can it? That's what we're seeing in many places. And, of course, let's look at the other side. Contemplation without action, that's just navel-gazing. That's taking pictures of myself, selfies all the time, in terms of my spiritual life. It's also pointless. It's self-absorbed. You know, self-protection is no protection at all, if we think we can do that. If we're simply aligned with our own comfort, with what's going on out there in the world, we're not aligned with the will of God then either. What we're looking for, the healthiest way to live, to approach our own lives and the crises and challenges facing us on a daily basis, and especially as Christians, is inspired action, right? That's the Jesus way. When you're confused about what to do and don't know what to do and feeling stuck and frustrated, and you can't see the direction, what are you supposed to do? Pray. Read your Bible. Talk to one another as spiritual guides with each other. Get reconnected with the ground of your being, the source of life. And then, when you have that urge, you feel inspired to act, go for it. That may well be God's guidance in your action, see? And more will be revealed to you either way as you act and reflect, as you pray, as you go. After all, as Jesus said, there is one thing that's important. Only one thing, the main thing, not action alone, not prayer alone, keeping the main thing, what is it? It's cross-shaped. It's God, our relationship with God, ourselves by making the sign of the cross, those of us who do that. It's our relationship with God that's being redeemed in the blood of Jesus, and it's a relationship with each other that's also being redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God and neighbor, prayer and action, God and neighbor. See, that's our life in Christ, our calling. And when you're living your life out of Jesus that way, the way of inspired action. You know what? Life can even be more fun. I think you know about this. The kids on the trip did. You can get a joy, a deeper joy, a delight even in your life. Watch this.
Garrett, you gotta swing your hips in a circle.
Get in there, Garrett. Come on. Oh.
Garrett, no, no, not in a circle like this. Like up and down, up.
Michael, you're doing this.
Oh, yeah, look at the knees are swinging.
Michael, what are you doing?
Michael's trying. So
I got this.
Breaking the ankles.
Michael, you're awful.
See, but the air acts like his arm.
I'm not like skinny. This doesn't work.
That great? That's what it's like when you're living the Jesus way. Those moments that just break out. Because the Jesus way is to pray as you go. And that's the way to true fulfillment, true action, true relationship, God and a neighbor.